Welcome to the Anthem Church Podcast. Our desire is to transform lives through authentic experiences with God and with people. This message is brought to you from Anthem Church in Fairview, Oregon. We pray you are encouraged, inspired, and strengthened through the teaching and preaching of God's Word.
Series, even still, because what we're going to do as we look at the next few chapters of Acts, we're going to stay right in the book, okay? And we're going to talk about Acts, and we're going to talk about how God gets their new church, and not only just the church, but and then specifically some individuals, how he gets them through some difficulties that are presenting themselves now, and how they're working in with some of the leaders specifically, and how God is working to bring about in a powerful way the expansion and transformation of the world. And the truth is, they're unstoppable, right? They're unstoppable. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the miracle or the vision that Nebuchadnezzar the king had in the book of Daniel. And some of you may be unfamiliar with that. My suggestion is read the book of Daniel. And it's got some great stuff in it. Some stuff that just kind of goes over your head. Other stuff that's fantastic. But this king, he's a pagan king. He has this vision of a statue with a gold head, silver, you know, shoulders, and bronze body, and then iron legs and clay and iron feet. And he doesn't know what it means, because in his dream he sees this little rock come out of the ground, and this rock smashes the feet of this statue and it crumbles and they all fall down. But this rock becomes a mountain that fills the whole earth. And Daniel gives the interpretation. Daniel says, well, listen, your kingdom, king, is the gold head. But after you, there's going to be another kingdom. And there was. It was the Persians. The kingdom that followed them were the Medes, conquered the whole world. The kingdom that followed them were the Greeks. We're very familiar with the Greeks. And the kingdom that followed them were the Romans. So the head of gold was the Persians. Silver was the Medes. And the Greeks, the bronze. Then the strongest iron was the Romans. And then following them, there's a couple of kingdoms as it separated. And then in that time, Christ came, Jesus came. And that kingdom, you know, destroyed all those other kingdoms. None of those have survived. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of King Jesus, come on, amen, who is still the king, is still growing and getting more powerful and expanding throughout the world, amen, and still growing at a rate today faster than any other religions on the face of the earth. And so we are part of that, amen. Last week we talked about the first evidence of the ugliness of the human nature showing up in the church, and how God quickly dealt with the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, and so we had a great time. And here's the truth: there was no stopping what God was going to do. Okay, and still today, it doesn't matter what anyone might think, what any professor might say, what any pundit on TV or commentator on news channel may say, the kingdom of Jesus is going to grow and is an unstoppable force, and it's going to continue to grow and fill the whole earth. Amen. And that is the truth. And so in that, I want you to know that there's no place in the Bible that says that the church is going to be successful and at the expense of the people or members of it, okay? Because you are the church. We are the church. So that stone that destroyed that statue and all the other kingdoms of the world, that stone is you and I. We're a part of that. It wasn't a church or an organization. It is a people that grew and prospered and blessed and became a force on the earth. Come on, are you with me? And if God used people then, he will use people today. Amen? And I just believe that he's called us, that he said that everything I put in your hand is going to prosper. Amen. God's plan is to make us the head, not the tail. Amen. He says that we're more than conquerors in Jesus. That's the promise, right? We just sang it. It's yes and amen. All right. So if that's the case, what hinders us? Why haven't we reached, and why haven't we seen us continue to, you know, we're plugging away, but what hinders us from really accelerating in that process? And I think there are some things that do. What keeps us from realizing our full potential as individuals, from stepping out, from taking risks, from fulfilling our God-given purpose? We're going to go to Acts chapter 5, and if you have that in your Bible, I'd like to read a portion in there to you. I don't believe I've got it up, this was one thing I forgot to do when I came in. Sorry, guys. Put Acts chapter 5 up and read a little bit. Start beginning at verse 12. If you have that on your app or your phone app, or if you actually brought a Bible with you to church, other than electronic, okay? I go old school. I love it. Okay, here we go. Starting at verse 12, it says, "Many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the hands of the apostles. By common consent, they would all meet in Solomon's colonnade." Now, that's where the first miracle happened in chapter 3, where the man that was lame was miraculously healed. And from that point on, it was at Solomon's colonnade. That became the gathering point. It's at the place of this miracle. So every time they came to that place, they remembered, this is the place where God moves in miraculous ways. And he continued to. Signs and wonders were being done. Verse 13, "None of the rest dared to join with them, but the people praised them highly." Okay, now he's referring to the leaders there. The leaders were afraid of them, but the people praised them highly. "Believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, crowds of men and women. As a result, they would carry the sick out into the streets, lay them on cots and mats, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. In addition, a large group came together from the towns surrounding Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest took action. He and all his colleagues, those who belonged to the party of the Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy. So they arrested the apostles, put them in the city jail, but an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail during the night, brought them out and said, 'Go and stand in the temple complex, tell the people all about this life.' In obedience to this, they entered the temple and complex at daybreak and began to teach." So, I mean, this is an incredible story. So this is a miraculous moment of happening. The church is growing. The leaders are not happy about this. So they put him in jail, and because of what they're saying, they've already told him not to do it, to speak of this anymore. They go do it anyway. They put him in jail, and in the middle of the night, angel comes, opens the door, says, "Go back and keep speaking this." So they do, and the high priest we read on in the story, we'll find that they send some soldiers to go get him out of jail. They're gonna talk to them, they're threatening them some more, and they're not there. They're not in the jail. They find the guards there. The door's locked. Nobody in the jail. And then somebody says, "Hey, you know those guys you put in jail? They're now down at the temple, and they're saying the same things that they've been saying. All the things that you've told them not to say." And now these guys are just gnashing teeth, and they want to kill them now. And they're really angry, and they bring them back in. They arrest them, bring them back in, and they threaten them some more. And then the Bible says they beat them, they flog them, and we'll talk about that. And they're wanting to do more, but a guy stands up, Gamaliel, and says, "Hey, listen, you better be careful with these guys, because we don't know, you know, what's going to happen with them. Probably is going to happen like it happened a while back. There was a guy that came raised up, you know, a guy named Thaddeus or something, and he had got some followers, and then he was killed, and the movement disappeared. And then there was a Judas the Galilean. He rises up, and he gets a few followers. They kill him, and the movement disappears." And he says, if it's the same, then, you know, this guy's dead. It's just going to fizzle away. But he warns them, if this is God, we better be careful, because we might be fighting against something bigger than us. And so they bring him back in. They listen to his advice. They bring him back in. They say, "Don't you teach anymore about, you know, this Jesus and his power in his name." And they beat him with canes to just make sure they get the point across, right? And what do? They walk out the door, celebrating, "Yay, we got beaten for Jesus' sake. Isn't that great? Look at these marks, man. I'm bleeding, my back been cracked with a cane." And they go right back out, and the Bible says in the last verse of the chapter that they go right back out. Let's just, we'll just read it here. Every day, okay, every day in the temple and complex and in various homes, they continue teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. It's every day. I mean, are they nuts or something? I mean, they've just gotten caned, right? Their backs are still, you know, the scars are still there. And what do they do the next day? Let's go do it again, boys. I mean, this is a people that were unstoppable. And I believe that God has called us to be unstoppable. So what hinders us from being unstoppable in life? Well, let me give you a few couple things. What hinders our progress? We'll look from this story and gather some. And I've got a few more minutes here, so we'll go, okay? Number one is a fear of what others might think of us. That's a number one thing I think that hinders us. All of us have to conquer this fear. Most people put a lot of stock in what other people think of them. And we don't want to have a reputation that is negative. We want people to like us for the most part. Come on, how many people say, you know, I want people to hate me? Come on, anybody like that? I can pray for you. You can get delivered right now, okay? Now, we want people to like us. We do, okay? We have that need to be accepted, okay? But the danger is, if we allow that to be the thing that guides what we do, we'll end up falling far short of what God wants us to accomplish and far short of our potential. Look in Hebrews 13:6, it says, we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Well, they can flog you. They can throw you in prison. There's a lot of things. And the leaders here, you think about that, the apostles could have got caught up in that and said, man, you know, people could do a lot to us. Maybe we should just back off a little bit. Maybe we should just wait till things calm down a little bit. But do they do that? No. Fortunately for us, they didn't stop. Amen? They were unstoppable. They continued with the message of Jesus. Proverbs 29:25 says, fearing people is a dangerous, come on, what does it say? Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord is safety. Amen? Means safety. And so, you know, we put our trust in him. Another version says it brings a snare. I mean, we're caught in a trap. And so, you know, we'll never break out and be the best that we can be if we fear what others might think of us. Amen? So we just have to be like these disciples that kept trusting God and put their full trust in him. Amen? Here's a second thing that I think that really hinders us from progress. And I think this is a great message for this day when we're talking to graduates, okay? And because this will really help them in life. But here's the second thing that hinders us from progress, and it's being jealous of what God is doing in another person's life. How many have ever seen people get jealous of what others God is doing in somebody else's life, right? I mean, that's a very easy thing to do. I can easily get jealous of what God is doing in other pastors' lives, right? Man, you know, because you start the comparison game and what other worship leaders are doing or what other, you know, businesses are doing or what other, you know, kind of somebody else in your career is doing, and you get kind of jealous of them, okay? It's very easy. Look what it says in Acts 5:17. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. And they were so filled with that jealousy, that's why they were Sadducee. They were so jealous. Okay. They were so jealous of the popularity of these leaders of the way, okay? I mean, they're really, they tried everything they could to stop them, right? So, you know, throwing them in jail. And listen, jail back then was wasn't three meals in a cot, right? Okay. Jail back then was a lot different. Okay. You got a rock for a pillow. Okay. You got a pail for, there's no flushing toilets. You got a pail. Maybe. But most likely it was just a corner. Okay. And that's all you got. And so, you know, beat them. Okay. So they tried everything. But jealousy is an incredible way to miss out on what God has for you. James 3:16 says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every kind of evil. Okay, so listen, you don't want to get jealous of what God is doing in other people's lives. That will hinder the progress that God has in you. I mean, listen, the Jewish leaders could have embraced what was happening. They could have said, hey, this is the answer. He is the Messiah. He's the one that we've been looking for. Did they? No. They got their jealousy get in the way. I mean, listen, if you can't beat them, join them. That's what Kevin Durant said, right? Join the Golden State Warriors. Look at, he's got, you know, two championships right in a row. Any of my basketball fans out there? Come on. Hey, all right. Hey, by the way, I think we're going to start a Sunday night basketball here at the church. Use the gym, okay? Any takers? Okay. And then we're going to do a pastor's challenge where, we're going to get Dennis and myself and we'll get some of the younger guys too. and take on any challengers. Okay. All right. You'll hear more of that to come. All right. So great wisdom there, okay? Don't get jealous of what God is doing in someone else's life. It hinders our progress. Third thing out of this story is having a purpose or activity of human origin. And here's what I'm... in the story of Gamaliel, where he warns them, you know, hey, listen, remember that guy, Thaddeus? Remember the guy, Judas? Listen, if it's, and look at this verse, here it is in Acts 5, 38, 39. Therefore, in this present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their person, purpose, or activity is of human origin, come on, what does it say? It will fail. And here's the truth, my friends, that if the thing that we are following is of human origin, if it doesn't originate with God, if it comes out of a good idea, a great idea, you know, listen, you're going to be in trouble. You can put all your effort into it. You want to live a life that is built on the activities that and the ideas and the concepts that originate from God and then move with them. Amen? And watch how God just moves in that circumstance and that situation. Come on, are you with me? And he says, but it is if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. Man, listen, we need to make sure we're not giving our time and energy to things, right, that originate in the heart, that don't originate in the heart of God. Amen. And that's what makes us unstoppable. Come on. And here are a few things that I think we can learn about unstoppable people from this story, okay? And I saw five things that out of this, and we'll go through them quickly here. The first thing I see about unstoppable people is that they boldly move away from playing it safe. Come on, are you with me? They boldly move away from playing it safe. Look at Acts 5:12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. I mean, you have to love these dudes. You just have to love them. I mean, they go back for more every single time. Every single time. I mean, we've read it, right? It's like the fights I used to get into with my little brother back when he was smaller than me, okay? And he was tenacious. He'd get angry as a badger, and man, he would come after me, and I would beat him down time after time, beat him down. He'd get up, come after me, beat him down, come up, come after me, beat him down, and it would go on and on and on. Finally, I'd have to go to my mom and say, tell this kid to, you know, back him off, would you? Because I'm thumping him over and over again. And, or at least that's how I remember it. No, it's what happened. Truth, sorry. But the apostles, they were not going to play it safe. Just stay between the lines. Don't dream big. Don't get carried away. Don't do something that could really, you know, get you hurt. They threw all that aside, and they went for it. I mean, I saw a great commercial the other day, and I don't know if any of you saw it. It listed how many people dislike their jobs, but how few step out of their comfort zone and leave it behind for something better. And I thought about how many people play it safe behind that security card. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, let me tell you something that you need to write down on your chalkboard at home, okay? How many of you got a chalkboard wall? Come on, be honest. You got a chalkboard wall or somewhere, okay. Or someplace where you still have the magnetic letters, okay? If you got the magnetic letters on your refrigerator, write this out. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Did you get that? Everything that was miraculous for these guys, everything that was outstanding, everything that was exciting, everything was on the other side of their comfort zone. But see, Jesus never called us to be boat riders. He called us to be water walkers, amen? And look at the results. Look at it. Verse 14. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. So listen, boldly moving away from playing it safe means inviting that neighbor that you can't get along with to come to church. Amen? It means asking the server at your lunch today at the restaurant to if you could pray for them. Amen? Boldly moving away from playing it safe says, you know, means writing down some new goals, looking for some new opportunities, getting involved, leading a small group. Come on, are you with me? How does God want you to move away from playing it safe this week? I don't know, but he'll tell you. Amen. Here's the second thing that unstoppable people do, and they follow the leading of God no matter the consequences. Verse 5:29. Peter and the apostles, other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." What a statement. Amen. I don't care what the consequences are. I don't care what it costs me. I am going to obey God. Done, settled it, okay? I remember when I moved to LA from New York at 17, pursue the ministry as a young man, I left everything. I left all my friends. I left my parents. I left the scholarship to a college in New York. I left all that was familiar to me. I was going to follow God. And God met me in California and began the journey of my ministry and fulfilling my calling and future. And I'm telling you what, look at the consequences of what doing what God said were for the apostles. I mean, they continued. And they knew it was going to bring them into open conflict. But they did it anyway. They get arrested. They get thrown in jail. And what happens? Look what happens. They get arrested and thrown in jail. But look what happens in the jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the door of the jail and brought them out. Hoo-wee. Can you imagine that? You say, man, I'd like to be that. I'd like to see an angel open some doors for me. Do you want to pay the admission, price of the admission ticket, though? What's the price of the admission ticket? It's doing what God says to do, no matter what the cost. Are you with me? Amen? They get out, they go do, and the fury of against them gets even greater. Verse 33, when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But let me tell you, here's the truth. You may create some enemies when you do what God wants you to do. But unstoppable people, number three, they let the Holy Spirit do the fighting for them. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit do the fighting for you. I mean, why would you take on a fight if you knew that there was somebody bigger, somebody stronger, somebody better equipped and willing and able to take it on for you? I mean, it's just a thought. Look at this promise in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, I'm just reading it. Come on, are you with me? This is a promise of God. And this is a certainty that ought to bring us great confidence. Amen? I think about the historical event of Elijah being surrounded by the Assyrian army. And he's looking at all these people. And his servant comes up. And I mean, he's standing next to Elijah. His teeth are chattering so loud they're breaking into pieces in front of him. And, you know, he's afraid. And Elijah says to him, wait a second. What you don't see is that there are more of for us here than there are against us. And he says, Lord, open his eyes. And he sees the host of heaven, the armies of God surrounding all of them and the army of Assyria. And I'm telling you what. He says, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. See, when you walk with God, when you know you're putting it first in your life, when you know you're boldly moving away from playing it safe because God's and doing God's plan, no matter what the consequences, listen, rest assured, there's going to be an unseen force that is greater than any opposition you face that's going to surround you. Amen? And if you, listen, so you can acknowledge it, you can believe it, and you can see God do some great things. Amen? And that's what the apostles did, and that's what made them unstoppable. Man, I love this verse in 2 Chronicles 32:7. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged before the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is one greater with us than with him. Whew, that just sends chills up my spine. Oh, my goodness, Jesus. Wow. Here's the next thing that unstoppable people do. They take a beating and they keep leading. They take a beating and they keep leading. Okay, Acts 5:40, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And what do? Verse 42, day after day in the temple courts from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Woo! Man, can you imagine that? Beating they took, doing things that are we consider inhumane. They endured that, but they never stopped. Next day, they're in it again. Amen. Did they quit believing? Never. Okay. Did it discourage them that they had to? No way. Folks, these were tough characters. Tough characters. I wonder sometimes what Christians in America would do if they were challenged like this with their faith. Amen. I, for one, want us to be prepared no matter what. And in every situation, right? We're unstoppable and we're prepared so that we can power through. Amen. And this is the final thing that we see about these unstoppable believers. Amen. They chose joy as their emotion of choice. And I think it's so important for us to choose joy as our emotion of choice. I mean, we talk about, how many of you addicts had a drug of choice? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So a couple of you are ready to say it. I mean, but we can have an emotion of choice too. Acts 5:41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin. What does it say? Come on, say it out loud. Rejoicing. Because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. You know, everyone has a choice of what kind of emotion they will experience at any given time. I mean, you have a choice about whether you're going to be angry or discouraged or worried or sad, or whether you're going to be hopeful, encouraged, or joy-filled. And the apostles chose to be joy-filled, joyful. I mean, they have every reason to feel some way else. They have every reason to say it's not fair. We've been mistreated. We've been took advantage of. We, you know. But they said, no, we're going to turn. It turned to rejoicing. Amen. And in life, we can sometimes have many reasons to complain about things. I mean, we can get bitter about a situation. We can feel injustice. We can be discouraged. But what if we just decided to choose joy in the midst of all those things? To choose joy in the midst of all of those things. What if we decided that the only thing that we can change is not what's happening around us, but what's happening inside us? You know what? I'm going to choose joy. Amen. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And this is why it's the right emotion to choose. Amen. Come on, are you with me? Listen, Romans 5, verse 3 through 5 says this, and not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that afflictions produce endurance, endurance produces proven character produces hope, and this hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So listen, there are a lot of emotions that you can choose, but the emotion recommended by unstoppable people of God is everywhere is joy. Amen. Let's choose joy. Let's choose joy. Let's choose to say, you know what? I don't know how this is going to work out, but you know what? God's going to work it out. And I choose to rejoice. Amen. Because that's unstoppable. So how do we become unstoppable? We boldly move away from playing it safe. We do whatever God says, no matter the consequences. We let the Holy Spirit fight the battles for us. Listen, amen? We take a beating and we never stop leading. And we make joy the emotion of choice. And listen, I promise you put those five things to work for you, you're going to be more than a conqueror. That's what we'll be. And just like this group of men and women went on and transformed the world, we'll transform our own world and make it a different place. Amen. And there are people hungry to know this truth. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We are located at 1415 Northeast 223rd Avenue in Fairview, Oregon. You can find us online at www.anthemfamily.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at My Anthem Family. God bless.